There will be an ongoing lockpick demonstration and training downstairs. I don't know how they call that floor. I think floor B the second floor. So I will be here 1 hour after this is over. So at 2 o'clock, from 2 to 5, I will be downstairs, and people can play with locks, can pick locks. But it's a completely different subject. But it seems that many people are interested in that. So I just had that mentioned. Also, there's a special pick set made for this conference that's available only in a very limited edition. And it will be sold, I think, 1 hour after this show, where they sell the T-shirts. So if you're interested in that, it's going to be $25. But the picks are really excellent. I tested them. And it's really become a very nice set. It's this is not the lockpicking panel yet. I could try to grab one out of my... Well, anyway, I think... Just go check here where they sell the T-shirts 15 minutes, 20 minutes after this talk, and they will be for sale there. But as I said, it's going to be a very limited edition, so grab it fast if you're interested in it, because they will probably be sold out pretty quick. I don't think that we'll make it with the supply we got till before tomorrow, before the lockpick panel. But we'll see what happens. But definitely after that's over, the sets will be gone. That's for sure. Okay, where are you at? it's also... I'm very happy to see so many of you, because on the other side, Bruce Schneier is talking. Hey, don't go. But Bruce Schneier is talking, and I really expected it to be much less crowded as it is now, but I'm really thrilled to see so many people are interested in this interesting topic. Ed and I are going to cover the radio spectrum. That's actually what it's about, and what's there and what you can do with it. Some things you can do with it are quite amusing. The government is trying to encrypt more and more of their signals, so there's much less interesting stuff for us. But still, there's many interesting things to be found, and even when encryption is used on these signals, still some intelligence can be gathered from that. And I hope we can show you. We'll cover a whole range from normal scanners. Hey, there's Ed. I think. Yes. Give the man an applause. Finally, he made it. Okay. I'll just sit here. Yeah, we had some problems copying files from my to Ed's machine, because that's the one that's going to be playing some captures that I made in the Netherlands and in Europe of some interesting signals that I think you will find, hopefully, highly amusing. Problem is, of course, that a lot of the interesting stuff I captured is in Dutch, so it doesn't going to mean anything to you. So, therefore, I made a selection of some of the encrypted signals and will explain how the encryption is done and if you have a chance of bypassing it or not. And I brought some video clips that our police helicopter in Amsterdam is transmitting. Actually, it's for their internal use, but if you have the right receiver, it's a nice broadcast to see what's going on in that area. And there's some highly interesting and entertaining video clips. But here's Ed.
Is it working? Okay. I don't know how much Barry told you. I'm sorry I'm late. We had, as I said, technical issues. There's something called the electromagnetic spectrum that I don't know how many people here are familiar with its makeup. But there's a broad spectrum of what we would call bandwidth, but it's floating around in the air everywhere from DC, or very low cycles per second, up to microwave and light frequencies. And we're talking about hundreds of gigahertz of bandwidth. And there's a lot of stuff floating around there. A lot of it is easily intercepted and demodulated in either analog or digital modes. And we want to show you some of these interesting signals that are floating around, what's out there, what can be demodulated, what can't be, what can be learned from things that you can't demodulate, but just from doing traffic analysis, that sort of thing. So we're going to show you what looks like a timeline, really, but it's a a graph showing the U.S. frequency allocations. And these are different somewhat in different countries. So what applies here, our FCC equivalent in the Netherlands may not necessarily show the same. So, for instance, police frequencies that Dutch police may use will be used by maybe a television station in this country. So I'm going to switch over to the spectrum. Let's see. How do we get our video up? Can we get... switch over to source. Not getting video here. No? Wrong one. I'm trying to switch to a laptop video here. Maybe I can do this.
A little later. Here's the spectrum of the U.S.
All right. In this country, the FCC and other aspects of the federal government here dictate what goes where. And I recommend you do a search for this if you're interested. Just go online and do a search for U.S. frequency allocations or spectrum chart, and you'll find this really big PDF. I'm going to blow it up here and show you some details of what's where.
Where's your power supply?
Can you read those? I can't see it from here. Okay. Right here, you're seeing megahertz frequencies. For instance, you have TV broadcasting in this country from 614 megahertz up to 698 megahertz. You have cellular telephone frequencies right up here, and further down, if we navigate around here a bit, we have lower frequencies. These are international shortwave frequencies, anywhere from, say, 2 to 30 megahertz. There's a lot of interesting international programming floating around. You can listen to that on a just regular shortwave radio. You can get for $50 or $100. There's above that you have VHF, which is about 30 to 300 megahertz. That has FM and TV broadcasts, channel maybe 2 to 13 in this country. Some aircraft communications. The federal government uses a lot of frequencies in the VHF frequency range. Federal law enforcement agencies. Typically in the 160, 170 megahertz region, Secret Service, FBI, DEA. Some analog, some digital, some encrypted. Analog stuff you can hear in the clear. Above that, you have UHF, which is 300 to 3,000 megahertz, or 3 gigahertz, if you want to call it that. Those would be your UHF TV frequencies, like channels 13 to 69. Cellular and PCS. Cellular is usually in the 800 megahertz range, and the PCS frequencies are in the 1,900 megahertz range. GPS, you know, there's GPS satellite navigation devices. They're in that range in what's called the L-band, around 1.5 gigahertz or 1,500 megahertz. Microwave ovens, Wi-Fi, around 2.4 gigahertz. And one of the things we're going to talk about is microwave video surveillance signals are in the L-band also, which is around 1.5 gigahertz, give or take a few hundred megahertz. Above that, you've got really high frequencies, above 3 gigahertz, up to several hundred gigahertz. Some satellite TV stuff is in the 4 gigahertz up to what's a KU band or KA band, up like 12 gigahertz.
Sure.
Like if you have a DirecTV receiver, that's up about 12,000 megahertz. You have satellite phones. You see reporters in Iraq and so forth. They're using satellite phones that are up in that range. A lot of military and intelligence satellites, very high, several hundred gigahertz. Radar, a lot of defense, military stuff in the really high ranges. I'm going to show a few example devices that can be used to intercept some of these signals. Talk for a minute, I'm going to grab it.
Okay. One of the interesting things as a radio spotter, as you think we might be called, is that I'm always watching at antennas on rooftops, on cars, on CB radios or on two-way radios, and you're always trying to estimate what's the frequency of that. And at one moment you're getting really good at it because all these manufacturers, they also make it more or less clear that what type of antenna is used for what type of band. And I'm always interested in, if I see somebody walking around with a radio, a two-way radio, I think, what frequency could that be on? Now, the most excellent tool to find that out is what Ed has got here. It's an optoelectronic scout, and as the name mentions, it captures frequencies. And what it does is it sweeps an entire band, and if a signal is above a certain level, it will display the frequency of that, which is a really nice feature. And also this scout can memorize 400 different frequencies. So you can stick it in your bag and walk around in an area that might be secured or whatever, and you're interested to listen to this communication. But if you're walking around there with your scout, people are going to say, hey, what's going on? But you can just carry it under your clothes and look at what's being captured later. And also the nice thing is that you see the frequency that's captured, but also the amount of times it was captured, which also is a nice feature. So if you only have one, if you see that a certain frequency is only done one, it's probably a taxi driving by. Well, if you see people talking for 10 minutes and you're standing next to them, you should have at least 50 counts of that same frequency. Now, what Ed just did is he triggered the device with his two-way radio. I don't know if you can see the... Oh, yes, you can see it.
These are some of the radios the organizers are using at the conference, and they're just a few watts on UHF frequencies. We chose these frequencies because they're out of range of some of the two-way radios that amateur radio operators can use, which can be easily modified to operate out of frequency. So we chose this frequency that's a little out of range of the modified radios. I'm going to change to another channel here and key up the mic. You can see the bar graph at the bottom shows your signal strength. I'm broadcasting or transmitting at a low signal level now. And this thing will beep to alert you that it's grabbed a frequency, or you can switch it to vibrate mode. So if you're walking around, let me see if I can get the beep. There you go. Or you can put it in vibrate mode, so you can just have it in your coat, and if you feel it vibrating, you can look at it discreetly and see who's transmitting near you. Now, I leave this thing on in my house all the time on the windowsill, and it has a logging feature. See if I can show you some of the frequencies it's logged. Let's see.
I have a special mount for this in my car, so when I'm driving in my car, it also records frequencies of things around me, which can be pager systems, cell towers, whatever, but also some undercover police car that is maybe following a suspect. You capture a lot of very, very interesting frequencies with this thing.
And you can,
a lot of them are not interesting, but you can find frequencies that normally nobody would ever find out because it's either out of band, like Ed is doing now. I mean, when I look at Ed's radio, I would have figured it would be somewhere between 440 and 470, but he was clever enough to tune it all the way up to 490. And if I wouldn't have a scout, I would never search there. I don't think so, at least.
Well, yeah, one of the things Barry and I do is we look at antennas, and you can judge from the antenna generally what frequency range your target is transmitting on. If you see someone on a two-way radio and you want to listen to what they're talking about, whether they're commercial, amateur, government, whatever, if you have one of these things, you can generally grab the frequency they're transmitting at and plug it into a receiver and listen to it. If it's if it's digital transmission, you need even more specialized equipment. But this also logs frequencies and allows you to download them, so you can do some frequency analysis. So after a few weeks of this sitting on my windowsill, I could see that cordless phones, that's a taxicab frequency. This is a cellular phone that was nearby. These are recent, really recent ones. I reset it the other day. But I did analysis a few months ago after monitoring for about a month, and there was something like 200 or 300 Philadelphia police transmissions that were within a couple blocks of my house. This only picks up things that are very close by, which is good. You don't want to pick up stuff that's miles away because it'd be just too much information. There was two FBI frequencies, a lot of police, a couple of Secret Service frequencies. I wonder what they were doing in my house. A lot of taxi cabs, municipal government, family radio service, you know, these little cheap two-way radios you can buy that are UHF. So anyway, this allows you to see what's being used around you. And you can program these frequencies into a scanner, or a lot of scanners or radio receivers, you can plug a cable directly between this counter and that and do what's called reaction tuning. So it will actually tune the radio to this frequency so you can hear what's going on in real time.
Which is a real pleasure. Personally, I don't have that because I don't like the fact that it also tunes to signals that I already know are bogus, like pager systems or FM radio stations. Then I'm driving around and hearing all these signals that I'm not interested in. So I've become very fast at entering a frequency while driving and maybe on the phone, but still... Still, okay, and then I'm not as fast as the cable, but it's close. It's close. Here's a nice example of a beautiful small receiver. This is the Yaesu, right?
It's actually it's a Yaesu VR500. I'm going to take it out of the case here so you can see it better. Let's zoom in on this a little bit. Get some extra light. You see that? There we go. That happens to be a shortwave frequency that Off the Hook broadcasts on simulcast, so you can hear Off the Hook in North and South America on this frequency, 7415 kilohertz. But you can program any frequency into this thing from very low up to 1300 megahertz, which covers a lot of different users. And it's very small, smaller than a pack of cigarettes. And you can keep it in your pocket and listen to FM, regular FM radio broadcasts as well.
And it runs out of normal batteries?
A couple of AA batteries, yeah. And it's very, very efficient power-wise too. It doesn't drain a lot of power.
Yeah, that's what I like in a receiver, that you're able to always that you don't need to change a battery pack. That you can just pop in a few batteries because it just happens that the most interesting things, your battery is empty at that time. So. I really like it in a receiver.
This is a single-use receiver. Not many different bands on this, but it's a shortwave receiver. You can buy these at Radio Shack or other stores. As I said, there's a lot of signals between 3 and 30 megahertz. I wish we'd get some more light here.
Yeah. But these type of radios are also used by spy agencies. And then you think, why spy agencies? Since the internet, there's been less and less of these around. But there are on the shortwave, there are stations, very high-powered stations, that only broadcast numbers and very short messages that don't seem to mean anything. But these are actually codes for undercover people in the field or special agents in foreign countries that don't want to pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I've accomplished something, or where do I have to go to today? These are prearranged codes that are set, and I hope that Ed can play a sample of
it. Is there audio right here?
Yeah, that's this audio. Yeah, they're small one-time pads. That's indeed correct. It's cryptographically secure that you just prearrange a random string,
audio.
And then... No, you can just plug it in.
On the table in area A for this thing that lets us turn the light brighter.
Yes, it's getting less.
Yeah, we're set up. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let me find the...
Now Ed is going to try to find some of the samples made of these shortwave transmissions. But some people actually monitor all these messages, even though they don't seem to mean much. Some of it, of course, is just filling up the space, so people cannot, by traffic analysis, see when things are getting really interesting. So they broadcast it at a several interval or a certain interval.
I'm going to play you a Cuban spy transmission. The Cuban intelligence agencies are notorious for using this method of transmitting encoded messages. One-time, you know, they were keyed, one-time keys. And This is one you can pick up very easily on a consumer radio like this.
Atención, 7, 9, 5, 0, 3. Atención, 7, 9, 5, 0, 3. Atención, 7, 9, 5, 0, 3.
Okay, that's the Cubans. Here's MI6, British Intelligence. It's kind of an interesting little tune they broadcast before this so that their field operators can recognize that this is the signal that's intended for them. And the tune is an old British folk song called the Lincolnshire Poacher. And after the tune, you'll hear some coded messages. These are really kind of boring to listen to, but what's interesting is you can do some traffic analysis on these, and they found that occasionally there's an increase in the level of traffic in these transmissions just before or during major international incidents. For instance, the MI6 frequencies were a little more active just before the Gulf War invasion. Next one I'm going to play is the Mossad, Israeli intelligence. You can hear these yourself with a shortwave radio. If you don't have a shortwave radio, you can go to a website called dxtuners.com. And it's a fee-based service, but there's a couple of receivers you can tune remotely for free.
Group 1, 3, Lima,
now, this is letters and numbers in the Israeli intelligence guidelines. I'm going to play this one now, which is one of my favorites. We nickname her Cynthia because she has the letters in her name C, I, and A. This is your tax dollars at work.
9, 6, 7.
All of mine.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, we've had enough of Cynthia.
0,
so,
9, 6, 7.
These are by far not all of the countries that do this. There's dozens of countries around the world, and they've really found that this is the most effective way to get messages to their field operatives. You could have field operatives out there with really compact devices, that are like a satellite receiver to receive digital messages, but, you know, what other way to like blow your cover than to be caught holding one of these things? In most of the world, having a portable shortwave radio is the normal thing that everybody has a shortwave radio for listening to news. In this country, people don't listen to shortwave very much. But in the rest of the world, that's the normal. There was a study done. Most people in the world get their news and information and entertainment over shortwave radio. Not in this country. So no matter what country you're in, if you have one of these things, it's not a big deal. So it doesn't blow your cover.
Unless you enter America.
Yeah, exactly. But you can hear these pretty regularly on a lot of shortwave receivers. Here's another one. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's another one. Oh, okay.
There's another receiver. You can't buy this receiver in this country. This is actually the control head for a Sony shortwave receiver, which I ordered from the United Arab Emirates, Dubai. Several 2600 staffers have this radio in their car. It's like a couple $100. That included the shipping. It's regular AM, FM, cassette, stereo, like 20 watts per channel for your car. But it also receives all the international shortwave bands. So it's kind of like having XM or Sirius satellite radio as far as diversity of programming available in your car, but you don't have to pay a subscription fee. And you can even listen to spy numbers transmissions if you're so inclined while you're driving around late at night.
receiver.
Here's another receiver that that has a unique feature that it receives video transmissions, not just TV, but not just broadcast television, but television that could originate from covert spy cameras that you see around. A lot of these cameras you see around are wired, but some of them are wireless. And Barry has some interesting examples of wireless video from Dutch police helicopters.
Yes, that's correct. We could go into that. The only thing I want to say about this ICOM receiver is that it doesn't work well on the 2400 megahertz band. The 2400 megahertz band probably rings a bell because it's the same band where the 802.11 is. It's a band open for a lot of usages, and the Amsterdam police has been using it for many years to transmit their video down from the helicopter to the base where they coordinate certain activities.
It's very insensitive. It's not a very sensitive receiver. If you have a preamplifier and an external antenna, you can do a little bit better, but this isn't really designed for really weak signals, like from a Dutch police helicopter.
Well, yeah, you're not going to receive it here anyway. No, but if you're interested in receiving digital cameras in 2.4 gigahertz, don't buy this receiver because it just doesn't work. I'm not sure if there is a handheld receiver that does a better job now. Do you know that?
There isn't yet. You'd think there would be, but there's just not enough market, I think. You need specialized equipment that's a few thousand dollars generally to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just bought a separate receiver at the radio flea market for, I think, $100, $150. But it's been definitely worth the money. Of course, when you buy such a thing, when you buy a receiver, the police doesn't work a lot with these helicopters. Maybe in the Netherlands they do it 10 times a year, 8 times a year. So you'll buy this receiver and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting and watch the news and say, you know, there was something with a police helicopter, and then I missed it because I was at work. So, but the first video I captured actually was like personally, like a wet dream. You know, that you turn on your thing, and the images you see really is really really cool. I hope I can share it with you now. But what I heard was that there were some squatter riots, that some squatters squatted houses. And the police were going to force them out. And these Amsterdam squatters, you know, they don't like that. So they fight the police. And one of the tactics they use is that they climb on the roof and throw stuff down. Most of the time, it's not heavy stuff. It's not tables and stuff. They're pretty, pretty nice guys. But they throw paint. And what you're going to see here is a small battle between the Dutch, the Amsterdam police, who has a water cannon trying to blow these people off the... No, really. And these people trying to blind the water-throwing device with paint. And this is what you're going to see, I hope.
Talk somewhere, I've got to start.
Okay.
And talk about the other video you had as well.
And there's also another video that I shot later after that is from an anti-war demonstration. The American consulate in Amsterdam, there was going to be a big anti-Iraq war demonstration, so they put a large amount of red containers around that building to make sure that nobody would get even close to it. And people came to these containers and they just protested. And at the end, some riots broke out and some stones were being thrown to the police and stuff like that. And then what I hope to show you later on, if Ed's computer works, is how the, I don't know how you call it in English, the SWAT team? No? The SWAT team, they have special small units that go into the field, into these, and they target a certain individual. You know, they say, get the guy with the red trousers or whatever. And then they will arrest him, grab him, and drag him into a police van in a secure area. And that's all being taped by this police helicopter. So I'm just sitting at home, you know, having this premium channel. It's really is very, very nice. And I hope I can share it with you.
Keep talking.
Keep talking, yeah. Come on. No, we'll just have to wait.
So show some other devices.
Yeah.
While this is rebooting.
Okay, and another topic that Ed and I are very interested in is once you get to know the spectrum, you also see blind spots. You see spots that are supposedly unused or unmarked, or, you know, people say, well, there's nothing to see in this part of the spectrum, just, you know, keep on walking, nothing to see here. That's, of course, the most interesting. And most of the time, you will find... okay, we don't have camera? But I'm now talking about finding bugging devices. It's one of the things that is logical once you know the spectrum and once you know how to find receivers, that you will be able to find hidden transmitters, even if they're small and low powered. It's interesting to find out where are people hiding, in what part of the frequency spectrum are people hiding these devices. And what type of people are there? There are, of course, the criminals and the people who don't trust their wives, but also the government. They also use bugging. I think in the States they use it much more as in Europe, although in the Netherlands laws have been passed, and in the Netherlands law enforcement is allowed now to bug your house and to bug your bedroom, and it's not getting pretty. Some bugs already have been found in the Netherlands. They operate around 850 megahertz in spread spectrum modulation, which means that with the normal receiver you will not find it. It means that over a large amount of frequencies the signal is smeared out, and it's very difficult to find these kind of transmitters. ETA's got a very beautiful device for that, the spectrum analyzer, that we will demonstrate a little later on. And that will actually show you in real time what's going on in a certain area in the frequency band. The squatters. Start with the squatters. No, that's not the squatters.
That's the zero band.
And it's not on the screen.
Squatters?
Yes. But it's not on the screen.
Can we get the laptop video on?
I think you have to do it manually with source. Okay. This should work. Yeah. But it's not showing.
Just was, now it isn't.
Well, we don't see the image that's in the box.
It's showing on the screen.
Maybe you say full screen? Full screen?
Where about? What's that? Right here?
Okay.
No, we're not getting it. Yeah? Should have tested this beforehand.
Uh-huh. Anybody with some knowledge about video systems?
It's probably set to clone. This one right here? For your monitor? It's probably set to clone. Set it to master. Right click anywhere on the desktop.
Right click?
Yeah. Get out of the full screen first.
Okay, right click?
Anywhere on the desktop, not there.
On the desktop.
Go to properties.
Mm-hmm.
Go to settings.
Bear with us.
And?
Go to advanced. The button up advanced, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Next, go to display, HDR. Very top one, right there. And, there you go. Change them. Yeah, you got it. Did it
apply?
Yeah.
Try it again.
Yes.
Yeah, there's something. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Let's watch this thing now.
Just
watch it. You want the spotter.
Yes. No. Full screen? Okay, what you see here is the video helicopter. And it's this is actually the first image that I ever saw. So I was, tuning it and then finding it. And then I heard on the scanner, some people say, yeah, move a little bit to the right, yes, go to that area there. And you will actually see somebody on that roof throwing small pellets of paint in a little while. There we go. And there's, yeah. No, but really, this is so rewarding that you get this device, And then all of a sudden, you know, you see this. And I had the biggest smile on my face since a long time that, you know. And the funny thing is that the water is slow. So this guy sees it coming and then just ducks. Oh yeah, you have to drag it a little bit further because it's hanging. Just drag it. Did you see a timeline somewhere?
Okay.
Here, just
go
grab
further.
It and just yeah, okay, just like that. Yeah, go back. Full screen now. Yeah, here you can actually on the top corner now you can see the car throwing the water to this guy. Oh. Ah, okay.
Is that the end of it?
No, there must be a little bit more. Okay.
Is that the end? Want to see the other one?
Yes. The Zulu. Okay, so that was throwing the water. Here you can see the helicopter that actually was a part of the helicopter flying into to the Amsterdam area. Sorry about the encoding of the video, it's not very well done. But you can actually see it fly over Amsterdam. Then it's getting its direction that people say, you know, zoom into that and that area. So it's going to look, where am I exactly? And then go into this area where the consulate is. There you can see the red containers in a line, I think. That's the... And here we see the zooming capabilities of this camera. I mean, just, you know, just a few seconds before we had a big part of Amsterdam. But now, and what you will see now is that they will put an extra lens in front of the camera. So you will see it blur for a second. And now it zooms in even closer, and they can really zoom into the video is hanging again. It's is that? No, it's not Windows this time. No, I just want it further that way. The slider, you see. Okay. Disconnect. Just close the program. No. I'm afraid we're facing a blue screen of death.
Too much memory. Finance.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The thing is, I feel bad about this. So, if people want to see the clip, they can get a copy from me. Just I'll put a CD here, and if you see me walking around, I'll make a few CDs and put the material on, and feel free to distribute it. I mean, it's been broadcasted, so I don't feel.
Keep talking.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm not sure if it's legal to record it, so I'm... well, there actually is a radio amateur by the name of Schellinger, who's a Dutch guy, who's recording all this. He says that, you know, it's an open band, and he's a radio ham amateur, and therefore he's allowed to record it. And he makes all these samples available on the website. So check on the website or check on Google at Zulu 00 and Schellinger, and you will find a whole lot of Dutch police camera that he recorded, and you can download the clips as you see them here as well. But I would like to give it another try if possible. But
no, it's not playing.
Okay, we could try my.
CD?
Well, I got them also on my. Well, I don't have the web address, but it's Zulu 00, Zulu 00. That's the call sign of the helicopter, and the guy's name is Schellinger. or Livingstone, I think, is also one of his names. Yeah, if you enter police helicopter, Zulu, you will definitely find some hits. Gonna see if my laptop does a better job of playing these video files for you. But anyway, now it's your turn.
There's some other. Hold on a second. I'm gonna share some of the.
Oh yeah, your surveillance camera.
Some of the pictures we have.
Later on. Okay.
Okay. What we're looking at here is a receiving station where the transmissions we were just looking at could be received from. Typically, you'll find these on the tops of some government buildings. This was supplied by a manufacturer of this equipment. A lot of times, these video surveillance sources aren't coming from a helicopter, but coming from a fixed place. It could be a hidden camera. They hide them in a lot of interesting things, and I'll show you some examples of that. But here's what's on top of, for instance, a federal law enforcement building here in the States. Here's another picture of it. What's interesting is this, aside from different from this and a satellite antenna, is this is not pointing up in the air. This is pointed horizontally or sometimes at a downward angle at a target. There's another picture of it from the side. This is a picture I took just a few days ago in Philadelphia. I'm going to zoom in on this. This is the federal building in Philadelphia. And if you see on the top right here, that's a microwave video surveillance antenna. And if you're on the ground, you look up, you can barely see this thing. So this was pointed sort of northwest. So the last time the feds in Philadelphia were using this thing, when I took this picture, they were monitoring or had been monitoring some video surveillance transmission in northwest Philadelphia or somewhere northwest of this tower site. That's another shot of it from the ground. Another shot of it. And sometimes these are hidden in common-looking objects that you don't think twice about seeing. In this case, I'm sure you've all seen these power company transformers. Sometimes they use dummy cans like this on telephone poles. And I'm going to show you a couple other examples of hidden platforms that these hidden things are in. This is from a law enforcement conference. I took some pictures of a box that has this sort of thing. This box will be mounted on a utility pole. It's just a gray box, and here you see a microwave antenna, similar to a Wi-Fi antenna. Here's a camera and a high-power lens, zoom lens. Here is a radio used to receive the signals to control it remotely. They could turn it on and off. Zoom in, sometimes point it in different directions. There's another shot of a different model. And here's some more interesting hidden enclosures. This is one that's used that's hidden inside what looks like a block of concrete and cinder blocks. Here's you've probably all seen these pedestals where the cable TV company or phone company has one of these things on someone's front lawn. Well, not necessarily is there a junction box inside there. It could be one of these hidden cameras. You can see the microwave antenna here for transmitting the signal.
Okay, Ed. I get a signal that we're running out of time, so maybe you show your video.
All right, I want to show one more video that was this was taken locally in Philadelphia. From let's see here, fixed base L band. Find it here. Okay, here we go. Bear with me a minute. It's loading. This was taken in South Philadelphia. I'm going to loop this thing because it's not very long. This was taken from a utility pole. And it's a surveillance of an organized crime suspect. And it's interesting, you can see when he leaves the building here, he's looking left and right and all around to see if anybody's watching him. But in fact, he's not looking up on the utility pole where this camera is. And this was intercepted not too long ago in the South Philadelphia area. And this guy is in prison right now. But this was used as with a lot of other evidence, wiretaps and so forth, to put together a case against organized crime people in Philadelphia. But these signals are floating around. You don't realize it. There's probably active surveillances going on right here, right now in New York. There are probably going to be a lot of them going around the RNC convention here coming up. And a lot of it is not digitally encrypted because it's more complicated to do that. And it's less reliable than just regular analog video. And the receivers to pick this stuff up aren't something you can go to Radio Shack and buy. So I just wanted to let you know that this stuff's going on all the time, and you just have to be aware of it.
Okay, shall I try to hook up my video?
To your to yeah.
My
With binoculars, if you look very carefully on some of these boxes on poles, if you see a small hole, that could be the lens hole. But frankly, they conceal these pretty well, so they're hard to tell.
How do you receive this kind of video without buying this iPhone unit?
There's other types of equipment out there. There's a company called Wavecom that makes these consumer video link units, and you can modify them. Otherwise, you just have to use very specialized test equipment.
Okay, I'm going to keep it this mode because sometimes the image freezes and I manually have to drag it a little bit further. But as you can see here is an overview of the area, and what you will actually see here is the van with the undercover police just targeting suspects. So all these people you see here are actually police officers. And at this moment, you know, they're just watching the scene and pointing out, well, there's one guy we might grab later on. And what they do when they grab somebody is actually quite interesting. They target him, then they walk behind him and for about 50 meters, and then with a team of people, they start running. And when they run, they grab the suspect behind and drag him around, but you will see that happen later on. Here they're just zooming in on somebody who hasn't done anything, and he obviously finds out that they're watching him, and he has got a sign that says, "Please stop this," which is rather funny. But you can see, I mean, this is digitally captured, so the actual quality is even a little bit better. And you can definitely, from this police helicopter, identify people. Okay, here we go. This is okay. Here they're bringing in a suspect. You can see in the middle of the screen these undercovers. They catch someone, and they will deliver him to one of these vans. As you will see, there's a special knock on the door that will open it, signaling we're the good guys. Open up, and there he goes. And then you will see now some police tactics. On the top of the screen, they're running. Here, on the left of the screen, they're running, and grabbing him. Did you see that? I could go back just to...
They get a running start, so when they grab him, you're done.
Okay. Up on the screen, there they come. Running for the guy with the white trousers. Bang. And you really don't stand a chance. And this is actually quite interesting to see all these police tactics through their own eyes, actually. Thank you, guys. But you know, being able to see this is really, really interesting. Now the Amsterdam police has bought scramblers, so they're scrambling a lot of these video signals. I think our time is up, but that will not prevent me from keeping this video playing, so people can see just for a few more minutes while the other person is setting up the stuff. What you will also see. There's one more. There's one more coming up. And as you will see, one of them will get away and actually throw something away. The guy with the brown shirt here is going to throw something away right now. La la la. you know, so even if they arrest him, he thinks that they didn't see that he threw something away. The other shot that you will see, but I will not be talking when you see it, is when they switch through to infrared. These helicopter cameras also have infrared on them. And they can select if something, there you go, if something in white is an hot object or if something in black is an hot object, as you can see now. So I'm just going to let this play for a few seconds or a few minutes till it's run out. Sure.
Yeah.